confident in their clothes. Jules is currently working to launch her brand in the UK and look for her very first 10 British ambassadors. So welcome to the studio, Jules. Well, I was saying to you how much of a fan I am of Married at First Sight Australia. So obviously I have to ask you about your experience and what it was like for you. But going on something like Married at First Sight is like a huge risk because you're putting everything on show into one person. So what was the reason for you applying to the show?
Honestly, it just felt like a really extreme date. I always joke that it, like, being the face of Bumble was like my first ambassador role because I was just Bumble date after Bumble date. And I was like, what have I got to lose? It just felt like a really extreme date for me. So, and I just thought, if I don't like him, I'll just leave. Like, of course it was a big deal.
Yeah.
But I just thought, if I don't like him, I'll just leave. Like, I didn't think past my wedding day. I just wanted to get through that bit and see if I was with someone that I liked.
Because I saw in an interview that you guys did literally post the show that you, when you first met each other, they weren't initially the person that you would like pick out.
No, God no. He did not order me and I didn't order him at all. Like I don't think that we probably would have met in real life if it wasn't for the show.
But like you guys were seen as the like most compatible couple on paper.
Yeah. I mean, I guess emotionally and okay. IQ and EQ, but not as in physically what we would usually go for. I mean, I had made such a big song and dance about that. I wanted a tall man. Like in my head, it was like, I'm curvy and I like, you know, just that caveman, big hands around me and to feel protected, like just very stereotype what a woman thinks that they need, you know, or want to feel feminine. So when I came down the aisle and his best man is literally like 7 foot tall. I mean, I was like, oh my God, he's a dwarf. Like, he looks so short in comparison. And they had like there's chandeliers everywhere and there's a beautiful rug on the floor. And I'm convinced they like dug a hole, put the rug back in it and popped him in it. And as much as even though they were saying, you know, we were highly matched, you know, ever in the in the history of maths, I do think they wanted me a little bit to be superficial and get down the end and be like, nah, he's not what I want, you know, because
yeah.
I think that's a thing that a lot of people go wrong in that experiment is they've just got their blinkers on. This is what I want. And my thoughts were, well, I've clearly everything I've done has been wrong this up to this time in my life. So let's just be open to it. And for me, it was when I heard him talk and he basically mirrored what I said, but in a male version. I was like, this feels good. This felt really nice. And I just knew that he was kind. I was like, I'm safe. You're not crazy. This is good.
Do you think that's what people do wrong in terms of dating in general? Like the blinkers are on and they're too narrow-minded?
I think so. I mean, definitely on Match. You see it every time. They get married and they're like, nah, sorry. Like, you know, he's got a piercing or he's got this or just little dumb things. Does that make someone a bad person just because they've got a piercing in their eyebrow? I mean, everyone has their specific taste. I get that. But you're in an experiment, so be open to what it's going to entail. So that was my mindset and it did. It felt really good. Even my mum was like, did you see what I saw? Like, this was great.
It's weird that other people, because I always feel like with Married at First Sight, people can see stuff that you can't because you're in such a like weird contained space, right? Did you ever feel like that with your family and friends?
Yeah, I think for me, it was not physically, it was more emotionally, like what he had to say for himself. And that's why I was like, he seems like a really good guy. Looked at his friends. I was like, they look good. I think you can tell it by someone's friends. And it ended up being like, there was 6 degrees of separation. Some of his friends were friends of mine. I was like, okay. And I think it kind of turned into a real wedding. And then on the show, our music didn't work for our wedding dance. It did. And then it blew. And I was like, this is like a multi-million-dollar production. Like the music does not just bust. So I think they were like, this is too much of a normal wedding. Let's mess this up a little bit for them.
Oh, that's the thing. Like that's the bits with reality TV and trying to keep your mental health intact because you just never know when some random thing's going to come into play.
Oh, babe, I was in there for 3 months. Like that's a long time. On the show, it kind of looks like it's 6 weeks or something. 3 months in a little toxic bubble that becomes your world. I mean, you'll know what it's like being on reality. And, you know, in real world, little things like that don't bother you. You're like, well, that's just do you.
Yeah.
But when you're being interviewed all the time, what do you think about them? What do you feel about them? What do you think about their relationship? And I'm such an empath that you end up thinking about it and feeling about it. And really, you're like I don't care. I'm here for me, but you're there to make a show, right? So you've got to have an opinion. And eventually, like, I broke. I crumbled. I was in tears. I was ugly crying. I was like, I need to get out of here. I feel like I'm being bullied at school. Like, it just felt so toxic. And as much as I was falling in love and having this amazing adventure, it was a really hard thing to stay in that toxicity of just nastiness and bitchiness and backstabbing. And
because your series was also part of like COVID, wasn't it? So that probably made it even worse and heightened everyone else's emotions, because not only you were in this bubble, but like everything else going around.
It was aired here through in the UK.
Oh, okay.
So God, I've been married forever. We got married 2018.
Oh, wow. Okay. Married forever.
Yeah. Coming up to 5 years now. And then it aired 2019, and obviously it aired here through COVID. So,
okay.
Which has been a lovely thing. Like when I've, you know, ran into like people in the street and they said, you know, they've just said beautiful things, which has always been amazing off the back of maths, that women beeline me and say like, you've made me believe that I can meet my guy and I can hold out for that person. And I'm like, that makes me really happy. But in England, a lot of people have said that it was like this beacon of light of hope, you know, watching like true love happen on television and thinking, okay, let's get out of COVID and we're going to find that for myself. So I think that's really sweet. And that's a really lovely thing when people say that.
I'm going to say maybe that was my main motivation for trying to do reality TV, but it didn't work out for me the same way. It worked out for you. But what is like your biggest advice to people to get in order to get a relationship to work?
I think we're saying just be open to it. Like, you know, when you have your apps and you're like, there's my postcode, I can't be beyond there. Like, just be open to falling in love, I think. So for me personally, I was like, everything I've done has been wrong up to this point. So I'm just going to roll with it. And yeah, married twice now with a baby. So it all worked out.
I mean, yeah, the thing is with marriage, you can always try again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But because you guys met on a reality TV show, like obviously with people's careers, it changes slightly afterwards. Do you ever feel like you have to come as a package consistently because you met on the reality show?
Not at all. Like, one thing I will say in a marriage and a relationship that I've learnt with Cam is like giving each other the space to still be individuals. Yes, we're a team, we're life partners, you know, we come together in certain ways, but we always give each other the space to do what we want to do and go do our own things. So I don't, like, I was asked the other day in an interview, like, being the golden couple. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like, the golden couple, like, we're like any other couple, you know, like, we huggy, we fight, you know, it's, We have a great relationship, but by no means do we like do everything together, or we do a lot of things apart, but we definitely lift each other up and support each other in any way possible.
I think that's really nice. And you guys are now moving to the UK, or just trying to like build a base in here for a career?
Yeah, well, so I lived here for 14 years. England feels like home. Like, I know London better than I know Sydney, to be honest. I was here for my formative years and I had a wonderful time from 21 to 35. And so coming back here for 3 months is to launch Vigor. England's just been open arms for me and for us. And I'm forever grateful. And I've always said that, like, London to me, when I came here as an ambitious 21-year-old, it's just city of light, city of opportunity. If you, you know, work really hard, you can achieve a lot of things in a city like London. And I absolutely love the UK. So yeah, we're here for 3 months and this will be a regular thing, like coming back.
So were you guys going to come as like a whole family, or would it just be like individually for you?
I don't know yet. Like, with my son being two, like, he's a great age to be doing this. We plan on having some more children, hopefully. So yeah, at this age right now, they're great to pick them up and travel. And, you know, he started his first day at daycare today in the UK.
Oh, yeah. Bless him. I know when you said you were interested in having more children, one thing that a lot of women are more openly trying to talk about is their fertility and, you know, how challenging it can be. Because I feel like when you talk to healthcare professionals, especially if they're male, it, like, women's fertility isn't taken seriously, especially when you have sometimes complications or issues. Mm. And I saw that you've been very open about potentially going through an IVF. Is it just because you want to have more children that's your main motivation for that, or is it?
Yeah, I'm very much a believer of, like, if there's a will, there's a way. And I was 38 when I fell pregnant. Sorry, end of 37 when I fell, no, 38 when I fell pregnant with Ollie. I think I can't even add up that now. But I was just before I went on the show, I went and did all the tests and I was like, I was 35 and I was like, I never really wanted to have children. And it was just something came over me that I was like, I'm ready to love something more than myself. I'm ready to be a mum. And my mum to this day always thought I'd be the one child that didn't have children, because I was just always very career driven. So I went and had all the tests done and very much put on this graph that I was down here. So you just, as a woman at that age, you just end up being instilled with fear that it's going to come with a fight. And I think that then creates a bit of, you know, I don't know, it's like when you can't have something, you want it more, right?
Yeah.
And I've always said that there should be like a national campaign in most countries that should be for young women when you're like 25, 26, go freeze your eggs. Yes, there's not 100% guarantee, but go tick off all the boxes in life. Do not let that one thing hold you back or end up with the wrong person just because you want to have a child. Like, I just think it's really important to, it's just locking it in for the future. So for me personally, when I married Cam, it was actually a bit awkward. Like, we got married again and I said, look, when we go on honeymoon, I'd love to actually start trying to make a child. And he was a bit like, oh, I don't know, because he's younger than me.
Okay.
And, you know, it's so weird. Like, you spend your whole life trying not to get pregnant and then you're like, okay, let's do this. And it's quite weird the first time you're like, okay, we're doing this. We're trying to have a baby. And it took a little bit and a few hard conversations with him. And I was like, you've got to understand, I don't have it on my side. Like, and we'd need to start trying now because this may come with a fight. I hope not. So it took a little bit and a few little hard conversations. And he wasn't like, yeah, let's do this. He was like, oh, I don't know. Are we ready? And so anyway, got my way as we do. No, I'm joking. And yeah, within 2 months I fell pregnant and I did share that on my Instagram and I had a tear and I just said, you know, I know that manifestation's not for everyone and I know things come with science, but for me, I told myself for a year, I was like, next January, that's going to be, and it happened, you know, like for me, I'm a very big believer in mood boards and manifest, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that works for me. But now being a little bit older, I'm wise enough to go, you know what? As much as, you know, 40 is a new 30, my ovaries aren't, and I'm 41 now. So we're going to keep going for a couple more months. And if it doesn't happen, then we'll cross that path of what we need to do. So I'm really positive about it. And then if that doesn't happen, we'll get to the next stage. So
you don't have any regrets about waiting later in life to have children? Because there's always that stigma about women being older mums or like waiting a little bit longer and behaving like a man is what I've seen floating around the internet.
I love being an older mum. I do admit that when I was younger, like say like my early 30s, a lot of my friends were married having babies and you always think the grass is greener. I'm like, yeah, but you got to mow that grass, right? Like everyone looks at everyone's life and kind of goes like, oh, I wish. But I did have moments of those feelings of like, maybe it's not going to happen for me. Like that's just being honest. There was that little voice in my head that was like, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I'm not going to meet that person. And this is also another thing that put me onto maths because I was like, well, what have I got to lose, right? So I love that I look back now and I've like ticked all my boxes and I have no regrets on that. And I actually really, I love being an older mum.
Talking about ticking boxes, you are a founder of your own company now, Shapewear, called Figure. I saw when I was looking at it, it was that you came up with the idea during your time Married at First Sight.
Yeah.
So kind of what inspired you to want to work in shapewear?
I know this was not a planned thing whatsoever. I've been in the hair and beauty industry for 25 years and I still am. Like I have a salon in Sydney still have that. But the shapewear thing was through filming. I always liked my microphone pack to be down my shapewear because when it was on my bra, I just felt like a bit of a hunchback because of the curve of my body. So I put the microphone pack just in the back there in the shapewear. Wore shapewear for 3 months, all different brands, all different styles, and it ended up rolling down, rolling up, so uncomfortable. But the main thing was at the dinner parties at MAFS, I'd take off my beautiful dress and it'd be on the floor. My shapewear would be on the floor and I'd be holding the microphone back in my hand, like going to the toilet. I'm like, well, this sucks. This is not fun. This is not seamless. And then coming off the show, so it wasn't until probably after 2 months that it had finished airing, I just had such a great, beautiful response from women, like thousands of women just reaching out to say, I really felt represented by you on television. And, you know, it's so good seeing a curvy woman on TV. Or I love the way that you dress. I wish I had your confidence. I've got a body like yours. Why don't I dress like you? And it was just really clear that so many women did not feel enough because of the shape or the size of their body and lacking in confidence. And then on the other side, I got so much trolling and body shaming for being a natural, curvy, confident woman. So I put it all together and I was like, and honestly, it was just a light bulb moment. I just like, I'm going to make the most kick-ass pair of shapewear. That's my confidence thing. That's my superpower. That makes me feel great. And also I wanted to, you know, a bit of a stick up to the trolls.
Yeah.
And that's where the messaging of Figure became of like, just work what you got, feel confident no matter what age, shape or size you are. So, and I wanted to then using the public as my models, because if women saw themselves in me, I want everyone to see themselves in everyone and feel represented. So that's where it came along with me going, well, I'm going to use the public. So, and it was just an amazing, the response of all the thousands of women that applied and wanted to share their story of their journey to worthy or their body image, and using such a selection of women who are so different from each other, from their personal stories, just so ultimately women see themselves in reflection and just feel equal. Because that's, I think, is really important as a woman, to feel equal and feel seen and heard. So that's where Figure began. So I went on a little trains, planes, automobiles to Asia, because I, as a, like a little children's drawing during my sketches, like in my head, I knew what I wanted to do. I was like, I've worn shape pretty much my whole life. And I was like, I knew how to make a great pair. And I kept on sending off my drawings, and then I'd get these samples back in the post and I'd be like, what the hell is that? So I went to Asia on a tour, and that was the way I sourced my product. Wanted to ethically find it, design it with a team, and the crutch, you know, now you can wear Figure and go to the tour. Like, that's, you know, revolutionary, which is...
It literally is wild that when you said it's revolutionary, because it sounds like so normal.
Oh, it's fun. It's won loads of awards, Figure, which has been amazing for that aspect. And when I left there, like, I've still got the original pair that I came back with, and I put them on. I was like, I've made a great product here. So that felt really good. And I think going there sped up my process of, I reckon, 12 months of literally going there for a week. And yeah, I had to throw money at it and make it happen, but it turned everything around a lot quicker to make that process.
I think, like, one thing that I always think about with shapewear is there are so many different brands on the market, but I don't always think they promote any form of body positivity, because they are put on photoshopped models,
yeah,
or made very small with fabric, yeah, like very small fabric. And the one thing I loved about seeing about Figure is when I said to you earlier about how I've got a longer body than I do legs, and anytime you wear any form of shapewear, it's like too short for your body,
yes,
and then it, like, everything has to come out at the top because that's where it all goes.
But you know what? I've never actually shared this. How I came up with the idea of the petite, which is your torso and the tall, was because when I brought the product back, I was like, Mom, you got to try it on. And my mom's really short. And she put it on and it was so long on her torso. And that's when I was like, I've got to make one that's shorter, because not everyone's got the same shape. So that's where that came. And I wasn't going to do that. And I was like, thanks, Mom. She didn't realize how much she was helping me. So that's been a great thing with figures. So because everyone's body is different. And for me, where the body positivity angle comes to it is because it's actually all you under that piece of material. Like, it truly is. And I think that true body confidence comes from accepting yourself, knowing, like, what your so-called flaws may be, and just being okay with that. And I think that, you know, it is a piece of material, but for some women, it really does unlock that confidence and makes them feel fabulous. Like, for me, I it's my underwear. Like, I know you said you don't really wear underwear.
Yeah, I don't do bras. What has the trolling really been like when it comes to releasing Figure? Because I've seen articles, you know, with, especially with women when they're on reality TV, when women's weight fluctuates, it becomes a headline. And then if you're also owning a shapewear brand, that's just going to add fuel to the fire with people on the internet.
Yeah. I don't read comments. I learned that the hard way very quickly. Like, when people reach out to me and want advice for, you know, it's going through situations or hard times and they've come off the back of the shows, I'm like, just don't read comments. You know, if it's not there, you don't see it doesn't matter. Like, and that's really it, because people that write those things, you know, they're obviously not happy. Like, that's the bottom line, is that they are unhappy people, which is sad for them. So, but it's, I learned very quickly that even when my television ad came out for MAFS, it was a beautiful advert, and then, you know, rookie errors, reading comments and things like that. Before I even spoke, before I even shared an insight to who I was as a person, I was trolled and body shamed. Oh, her hair, or her ass, or her, you know, just nasty. And I was like, whoa, like, it was such a confronting thing to see hundreds of comments about yourself, just really negative, just purely about the way that you look. And I've been really honest and open about my body and weight. Like, after I had my son, I put on 20 kilos. Working mum, you know, working from home, working so hard through COVID and launching Figure and keeping that going through such a hard time, as all people did in business. And I eventually was the weight that I was when I gave birth. And I was like, okay, I've now got this baby and I'm still the weight that I was when I, you know, 20 kilos. And I was just really open that I wanted to get back to my pre-pregnancy clothes. I wanted to do that. And there's nothing wrong with saying, I want to lose a little bit of weight. I want to go on a health journey. I want to have another child again. I want to feel strong to hold that baby again. That's yeah. my choice. It's my body to, my choice to make that for my body. So, you know, and then with that, then you get, I go back to that weight again, and then you have comments going, you succumb to celebrity, you've lost too much weight. I'm not even back to the weight I was when I first met my husband, and I was still body shamed. So you just got to go, as long as you feel good and you're comfortable yeah. with your choices and you have an integrity with what you do, then who cares? It really doesn't matter. As long as you're, as I said, as long as you feel good about yourself. And that's kind of been my biggest lesson through that. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. And I've been a size 10 to a size 18 in the public eye, and always, no matter what size, I still get body shamed. So it really doesn't matter for me. Put my figure on and feel fabulous.
To be fair, as long as you, like, when you feel comfortable in who you are in yourself, nothing can really break you or shake you because you know who you are.
Absolutely. It's say you glow different from the inside when you're happy with who you are.
No, definitely. And I think you're launching Figure in the UK this month.
Yeah.
And you do have Australian ambassadors, and you were talking about how you are on the hunt for British ambassadors yes. as well.
I've had some amazing applications like through the UK. So yeah, I'm looking for 10 ambassadors for Figure. So this campaign is hashtag Figure Movement. So it's just spreading that Figure Movement through the UK. And it really is for diversity. Age inclusion, I think, is really important at the moment. Like, just, you know, we're still sexy at 50, we're still sexy at 60, like, keep that going. These women need to be seen and heard as well. So I really want age at the forefront, age inclusion, and obviously size and diversity and appearance as well. So, and I always love to choose a couple of women who aren't confident, and you just know how much this is going to mean to them, and just to see them come out of their shell and be part of that campaign. It's really, for me, it's a really humbling, fun thing to do with these women.
How do you think that kind of works in terms of like marketing and advertisement, like picking at real women as opposed to just using any model that you can get from any agency?
Well, I think it's like people connect to it because these women are sharing themselves and they're being vulnerable and they're being honest. And that is the most attractive thing about people, I think, when they just be themselves. And, you know, it's some women, it takes a process throughout that campaign to ever, in Australia I do it over 4 days, and you see the women come out of their shell and they get more comfortable. Even from the first welcoming dinner, we share why we're here, and that gets women comfortable talking, and then eventually they get more raw and get more honest. And that's how I share it through social media or through the website, and that's the connection that women make with each other. You know, I mean, from some heartbreaking stories, like one of my ambassadors, she had several stillborns and multiple miscarriages, and still doesn't, you know, hold a child in her arms, but bears the body of a woman that's had several children. So she loves shapewear. You know, for me, like, it gives me goosebumps even now when I talk about it. That was a story that I was like, that's awareness. You know, that's awareness for people to go, people go through that. Like, I'm so ignorant that I was like, oh my God, wow. You know, yeah. Like, that's so heartbreaking. And you just sometimes have little things like that to just feel, I guess, fortunate for the body that you're in and realize that you've made a child, and be grateful for that, not focus on the lumps and bumps that happen afterwards. Do you know what I mean? So they're yeah. the kind of things that I like to show, different stories from different women. And also it's empowering for them to share that. It makes me quite emotional when I talk about it, because I really believe in that messaging of women just, you know, there's so many layers to Figure. And I always explain this stuff because I put so much of myself into the brand that I really believe that when you're a woman when you've got no hate or jealousy in your heart, you don't project that onto anyone else. And it's a positive door, you know, roundabout of positivity. And I think when you put that out, you get that back. So, and that's what I mean about, you know, put your figure on, feel confident, love yourself, don't throw hate in anyone, and just feel good. So, I've always ended up with a great group of women together, and it's a process to pick those women as well.
How have you found the kind of building the brand in the UK versus building the brand in Australia? Like, has there been much difference at all?
To be honest, it's just learning the business side for me here, like all the VAT and the import and the tax. That's the hard bit. But like building it, no, not at all. Like, it's been, as I said, England's just been so welcoming and lovely. And I've just had such a great response online from women just going, oh, this is great. We need this here. We need this movement. So, which is exciting.
To be fair, I feel like I need to get myself some now. Because sometimes when I go to like when I need to put an evening dress on, when you go to an event for work and stuff, sometimes you're sat there and it's like not comfortable. The outfit doesn't sit right. And you just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lot of people do box shapewear with like the curvy girl, you know,
yeah,
accessory or the staple. It's to do with fashion as well. Like I sell size 6 to size 8, size 10, like a lot of those sizes, because certain materials, like look at certain bridesmaids dresses, they're like silky and I don't care if you're size 0, like those material, they'll find lumps and bumps on your body. And it's about fashion and accentuating. Like I met Miranda Kerr a couple of months ago. She wears shapewear. She loves shapewear.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, like, and it's just because it just helps with that shape of the dress and you just feel like you stand taller, like it holds you up a little bit as well. So, as I said, it's a fashion staple as well. It's not just about like smoothing and, you know, trying to make yourself look skinnier. Like it, for me, I wear it because it accentuates my shape and I love to show off my natural body shape.
So if anybody in the UK that was listening wanted to become an ambassador, how do they go about doing that?
So you just go to figure.com. Hopefully by next week, or figure.com.au. And it is, I'm just in the ambassador section and you apply there and answer a few questions, upload a little video.
So what advice would you give to anyone that wanted to apply?
Just be yourself. I always say incredible things happen when you just yourself. Like that's my motto, how I live my life.
I guess that's what you had to do when you applied for Married at First Sight and sprung that whole side of your career.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So I normally ask every single guest a very similar final question. And I would like to know, what would you say to people or even your trolls like that doubt your ability to be successful based on the fact that you are an older mum or a curvier woman?
I mean, people always talk about this village, like it takes a village to raise a child. I'm like, take me to that village, please, because it does not exist. No, it does. But I definitely think being a working mother, you definitely need support around you to help, because it is, you know, it's a struggle. You know, I was explaining that you've got juggling so many balls and you've got to pick which one's the glass and which one's the plastic and which ones you can drop. And obviously my son is definitely the glass. So that is a real balance that you have to have and support around you. But I say to anyone that, you know, I just think you just got to honestly like believing in yourself and manifesting what you want and just go for it. Like absolutely go for it. And I think any advice to anyone wanting to start a business, start something up, is just always ask people for help. Like we're in such a world now of such easy contact and sliding to someone's DM. Like what's the worst that can happen? Someone just says no. Like I think good people want to help good people. So just ask.
Yeah, and I think people that have been successful in something you want to, they'll never judge you for trying to start.
Absolutely.
And the people that do judge you are the people that are scared of your ability to do what you want to do.
Yeah.
But thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing. And I can't wait to see your British campaign for Figure.
Yeah, it's going to be fab. I can't wait to share it too.